I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. DreamWorks Animation has a brand new animated series premiering on Netflix January 14th, season 1 of Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beast. Joining me right now is creator Radford Seacrest and executive producer Bill Wolkoff. Guys, thanks so much for being on the LCJ Q&A.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Now, Rad, I'll start with you. Is it true that you wanted to do something along the lines of Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, and you ended up with giant, funny, fantastical animals?
That is true. I almost set out to do something dark and gritty, but my natural sensibility just sort of came through.
And how did you end up with this concept along the way in creating the show?
Like you mentioned, I was watching shows like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and just all the cool stuff that was happening in television, and I knew I wanted to do some kind of post-apocalypse type of a show, and when I started drawing the images, they just kind of, the way I draw and my sensibility just started coming out that way. A lot of times I'd go for a walk in the morning in Los Feliz and be taking photographs of the city and just imagining what they would look like with giant, overgrown, mutated plant life on top of it. And that's where it kind of sprung from.
Okay. And now, Bill, in developing this for television, you know, it's post-apocalyptic. It is Los Angeles. How did you and Rad kind of decide, okay, we're gonna go 200 years into the future and have this be a post-apocalyptic L.A.?
Well, we love the city. It's such a beautiful landscape to tell a story in. And Rad brought this amazing and wonderful and beautiful, fantastic ethic to it. So set that 200 years later. Let mutant vegetation grow up over everything, and we can create an apocalypse that's not bleak, but is more like a wonderland. I love to describe the show. I've talked about this with Rad for a long time as Walking Dead meets Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, it definitely has that fantastical element to it. Everybody can check it out starting January 14th. And the look of the series is very anime stylistic, and I really like that about it. With all the wondrous creatures and the heroic themes that you see over the course of the series, Rad, you got to be inspired by Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli.
Oh, for sure. I'm a huge anime fan, so Tekken Kinkri and Miyazaki, Attack on Titan, like, I love all that stuff. So it definitely has an influence on my work.
That's great. And I really like the detail, animation inside little detail, but the fact that there are 5 fingers on the human hands. I mean, sometimes we see 4, sometimes we see 5. I really like that detail. How did you settle? It's a little minute question, but it's important. How did you settle on 5 fingers for the human hands?
You know, it's interesting because usually the 3-finger thing, it always goes with a certain style of art, which is more of the kind of classic SpongeBob or the God, I hate to use the word cartoony, but a lot of the anime stuff is, and my influence is tend to be more of the 5-fingered hand influences. So that's where that came from.
The hands just did not mutate yet, so they still have the traditional 5 human fingers on them.
Ah, okay. Maybe down the line there'll be something else going on. Yeah. And Bill, how did you guys come up with the terms? You've got the burrow, which represents the underground society, and the surface that represents the earth above. How did you come up with those terms to use for them?
We had a lot of conversations, Rad and I, as we were developing this. And the amazing thing about doing the show was getting to create our own mythology and build out our own mythology. And it came from just us tapping into the playful side of our personalities and finding something that made sense. And we'd throw out a lot of things out there, and then when a term like burrow or a term, you know, like calling our version of Los Angeles Las Vistas, when we found something that worked, you just knew it. And we also brought in we had a great writing staff, and everybody be a part of those decisions. And there's a power to a writer's room when you're working together and you're pitching something and you're coming up with a new language and you say something that somebody pitches something that everybody just knows that's the thing, and then that's what sticks.
And I like the fact, you know, there are so many shows on TV these days that borrow from other things. You are building up your own mythology. You are building up your own universe, stories with it, and it comes through definitely in the show. Kipo is such a free-spirited main character, and I like the fact that the music matches that nature and her personality. Rad, can you talk a little bit about the music choices and matching that up with Kipo?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. When me and Bill were making the pilot, because that's kind of where we started first putting music in with the editor, we kind of just put in music we really enjoyed or that we liked. And in my mind, I kind of thought DreamWorks would hear it and go, oh, you can't put that kind of music in. But they all were kind of bobbing their head and they were really into it. So we found Keir Lehman and James Cartwright, who helped us find our needle drop. And they just had a similar musical taste, and they found us really great stuff that we were able to put in, along with our composer, Daniel Rojas, who would create music, too, with a similar type of a vibe.
Yeah, the music, definitely one of my favorite parts of these episodes. Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, Jan 14 on Netflix. I'm with Rad and Bill right now on the LCJ Q&A. Emmy-winning This Is Us star Sterling K. Brown has done a lot of voice work lately. He was in Frozen 2 and the Angry Birds movie 2. He voices Kipo's dad here on this series. Bill, how was it working with Sterling K. Brown?
The best. we loved him. The first day that he came in to record, and it was, I think, may have been the first time he did animation at that point. Rad and I said, we got to be there early because we should be there when Sterling gets there. So we showed up earlier than we normally would, and Sterling was already there in the booth, going over his lines, going over the character, getting himself ready. He's just that, you know, professional, and it's also just a wonderful human being and very handsome.
I'm glad. Yeah, everybody will definitely be anticipating hearing his voice. There are a lot of This Is Us fans out there, and those animated movies made a lot of money in 2019. The first episode of Kipo allows us to get to know Kipo and Wolf really well. Their friendship slowly grows. Rad, what can we expect in terms of their dynamic as the season progresses?
Well, I mean, we definitely wanted to start them off as the odd couple, where Wolf was the seasoned surface survivor, and she's a little bit like Mad Max, kind of hardened to the surface life, whereas Kipo, she grew up in an underground city. Her life was pretty much like our life. Like, she went to school, she was going to get a job. Other than the fact that she was underground, it was a pretty cushy life. So you're throwing these two people together, like the hardened surface survivor and the kind of like happy-go-lucky, like every one of us kind of person. And starting them at odds like that, like people you wouldn't think were going to get along, it's fun to watch them become sisters.
Good, good. So basically this show is Mad Max for kids. Is that what you're saying?
I would second that. Kipo is so relentlessly positive. And is in a world that is full of wonder, but is also has danger lurking around every corner. Much like, you know, the area beyond Thunderdome.
Now, Rad, I know that you're also working on an upcoming animated feature. It may be coming out sometime this year called Wish Dragon. There's a little bit of buzz on that online. Can you share any details on Wish Dragon?
I left the project a few years ago when I came to this one.
Ah.
So I every now and then the director will send me a clip. It looks really cool.
Okay. All right. All right. But hey, you came over to Kipo and it's working out for you because this show is going to be big, going to be big. Are there season two plans already? You guys have thoughts on where things could go beyond this first season?
I don't think we're allowed to speak on the past season one. Stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Your lips are sealed. Your lips are sealed. That's okay. Hey, when it comes to this show, I mean, there are so many fantastical animals. There's bunnies and bees and birds and slugs and caterpillars. Are there any animals, you guys, that you haven't yet tackled on screen, whether it's a movie or a TV show, that you would like to animate some way, somehow?
You know, we have a whole wall of animals that didn't make it into the show, that we did design for. That was kind of fun. There was a cool hippo that never made it. A caterpillar never made it.
Huh, a hippo, that'd be interesting to see in this world too, but maybe down the line, maybe I can get something out of you for down the line, maybe you'll insert that hippo into season two.
Yeah.
Well, Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, January 14th on Netflix. It's a new, wonderful DreamWorks animated show, and it is basically Mad Max for kids. So if you're into Mad Max, you gotta watch this show. Rad and Bill, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today, and best wishes with the series.
Well, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. To listen to all these episodes, go to lights-camera-jackson.com in the podcast section. Also go to Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. See you next time.